following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters Podcast. I'm Michael.
Hey, and I'm Jimmy.
And out in Vancouver.
Martin Land.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the first fucking recording of 2024. happy New Year to all of you. We hope you had a good break. I think we all did.
Yeah.
Went and saw some movies. Martin came into town.
He did.
We did our last live episode of the year with Martin. That was fun. So we had a good break. We had a lot of fun, but here we are. We're back. It's 2024. And we figured the best way to start the season would be with a 8 versus 8 best musical debate. That would be 16. 4 versus 4. What's the count?
Well, and they aren't all on a team. We're doing a bracket.
We're doing a bracket.
Is what Michael's trying to say.
Exactly. Take it away, Jimmy.
Michael has once seen a sport and has once seen playoff sports.
I don't get too far into sports, ladies and gentlemen. Making a bracket for me, I need the computer to do
so
it.
So the last time we did this bracket, it was for the best comedy scene?
No, wasn't it best dog?
One or the other.
Something. We've done
best,
a few of these.
It was possibly best mom or dad.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It was
but we
both,
did 16,
actually.
And it was a lot.
It was too much.
So we cut it down to 8, and this time we're doing best movie musicals.
Movie musicals only.
And now, maybe some of these qualify, maybe some of them don't. And obviously, we're not going to get everyone that you like, so you have to tell us which ones we missed.
Before we get into it, we do like to talk about the things that we do on the show.
Let's talk about us.
Martin, I believe you've got a show coming in February for Clue Club out in
February
Vancouver.
25th, we're going to be back at Clue Club for comedy. I'll be posting the event poster soon as I finish booking all the guests.
Sweet.
And comedians.
And if you want to follow him, you just got to go to at Clue Club. How do you spell it?
C-L-O-U-G-H.
So go check it out. Jimmy, what do you got coming up?
We're doing a comedy brunch at Excuse Bar and Lounge on January 21st. Show starts at noon. You go for the brunch. It's a $35 ticket. It pays for the brunch buffet, and you get to watch a great comedy show. And then on February 17th, we're back at Laughs at Gaffs. We love these shows, so get your tickets as quick as you can. They tend to sell out, so call Gaffers if you want one of those tickets. They're fantastic. Oh, sorry, I'll be at Yuck Yucks on the 3rd and 4th of February too.
There it is.
Yeah,
that's the big one.
Yeah, we're
way
back
to bury the lead.
We're back. Michael, what are we at Real Debaters doing?
We've got a new home to do some trivia. It's at Rudy's downtown in Winnipeg. Rudy's right in the Manitoba Hydro building. February 13th, we're going to be doing Valentine's Day before everyone else is doing Valentine's Day.
That's right.
The whole theme is romantic comedies. I think we've all been either dragged to one or do enjoy one privately or publicly.
Everybody likes them, whether they like to admit it or not.
We were talking about, what's his face from 50 First Dates?
Adam Sandler?
Adam Sandler?
No.
Sean Astin.
Sean Astin.
Yeah, I was saying that men know Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings, but women know him from 50 First Dates. What do you think about that, Martin?
I thought Rudy.
You think women know him from Rudy?
Rudy was a great movie.
But women though, Martin.
There were women in Rudy.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough.
Name three.
Yeah. A young John Favreau.
That's not a woman.
That's not a woman.
That's not a woman.
But it had him in it, and I don't know. It's good.
Keep dancing.
It's a drama.
Keep
it wasn't dancing. Like a sports movie. It was a sports movie, but it was a drama.
Wasn't a sports movie.
It was a sports drama.
Sean Astin aside, we're doing three rounds. We're going to incorporate.
Sean aside.
We're going to be working with the fantastic staff, Kenzie. At Rudy's. We're going to have a lot of fun with this one. And hopefully, we're going to have a few nights. So stay tuned. But February 13th, I think the start time is going to be 7. It's a great event to bring a date to. It's low key.
That's right.
If you're
busy on Valentine's Day weekend and you need something to take your partner to on a weekday night, we got you covered.
Maybe you're going to the Jets game on Wednesday. Come to us on Tuesday.
And there might be a drink included with your ticket.
Who knows? All these plans are going to be coming. So the only way you're going to be able to find out and stay tuned is either subscribe to our social media in the show notes or subscribe to the show, which we much rather you prefer to. So let's move on from the shameless promotion and step off this mortal coil. Jimmy, what'd you watch this week?
I went to see Boy and the Heron yesterday. Martin, I wanted to tell you, we went to Thomas and Hines beforehand.
Ooh, did you have a cigar?
I did. I inhaled a whole cigar to myself, and I was very lightheaded.
He's not doing well today.
And I'm not doing very well today, and it was around 9 o'clock, and everyone's like, let's go see a movie now. And I'm like, oh, boy.
Oh, why would you go to a movie after that?
Oh, boy.
That sounds terrible.
It wasn't Landmark, I'll tell you.
Oh, where'd you go?
We went to Bolo.
You went to Silver Shitty?
Yeah, we went to Silver Shitty. And
did you reek of cigar?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And I just, you know, I my head was swimming that whole movie.
And it's a Studio Ghibli movie to begin with.
It looks beautiful. The background art, like, it's all the things that you expect in a Ghibli, but just executed perfectly. Okay, let's do a little rundown of the story.
Yeah.
So it's a boy. And it's
Heron?
It's during World War II.
Okay.
And his mother is killed in a fire at a hospital. And him and his father move in to like a nice little property in the woods somewhere to get away from all with his new wife.
Get away from the war.
Yeah, and then he meets this Heron who is harassing him and telling that his mother's still alive and he has to go into this magical tower. Lies. Heron's lie is the lesson of the story. And my God, like the voice acting, the art, it's just, it's so beautiful. Martin, I forget that it's Robert Pattinson half the time. And Batista's in it.
Batista?
Batista's in it.
Path to Righteousness is through a Studio Ghibli movie.
That's right. And Willem Dafoe, everybody was just fantastic. Florence Pugh, it was perfectly executed. Beautiful cast. Honestly, one of his best. But I can't think of a bad one, so.
And his last.
Yeah,
and
well, they always say, everybody says it's their last, and then they come back. It's what Brett Favre did two times.
And then he made a volleyball
and then he robbed the state of Mississippi.
He said that, yeah, it was his last before it was, and I, like you say, I think that's to build up the hype to go see it, right?
Because it worked on me.
It worked on you, exactly. Is it comparable to anything else that he's done that you've liked?
Well, it's still the same... like artistic style, but man, the backgrounds to these scenes where you can see the animated character walking, but just the painted beautiful backgrounds, it's like they're like Renaissance paintings. Like you could put these up in a museum and people will talk about them for hundreds of years. It's that beautiful.
Man, I don't think like this normally, but when that man passes away, the art in animation will have gone with him. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, people across the Spider-Verse and the Spider-Verse, they'll keep it going,
yeah.
Right? But I mean, there's just he's holding court still. So
I recommend it 100%. If you're going to see it in theaters, you should.
Was Pattinson your favorite voice in all of them? Did the voice?
Well,
the character...
you know, I'm sure. I don't know if I've complained about this on the show, but I've complained about it to you personally.
Yeah.
Actors are destroying the voice acting community. They're taking.
Interest, go on.
Well, I remember talking to a friend of the show, Darren Frost.
Yes,
he's going to be back
yes.
in town in February.
Sweet. Darren, you're welcome back.
And him mentioning that actors getting to do these voice acting gigs take gigs away from
voice actors. Okay.
And now I'm fine with Robert Pattinson doing it because he did a voice, Michael. He put a show on. He actually did a voice. It's not just.
He found a character.
It's not just Jason Sudeikis going, or Will Arnett doing his voice.
Big Will
you know?
Arnett.
Or H. John Benjamin, who I love, but, you know, what's the difference between Bob and Archer?
Yeah.
Nothing.
None, but it's great.
It's not yeah. not great. Yeah. It's just not voice acting.
But I remember having this conversation with you. I know exactly what you're saying, right? Like, voice actors have a range of characters.
But that is not the case in this movie. Everybody gives a great performance.
So Willem Dafoe isn't like a...
He's not just... Like, I recognized his voice because he's Willem Dafoe, but he plays a character. He's a pelican.
Nice.
Yep, nails it, too. He's a dying
pelican.
Are
there a lot of people who are birds in this?
There's a lot of bird people, Michael. A lot of bird people. Yeah.
So, first of all, how many lying blue herons out of 10 do you give it?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I was a little confused at points, and I felt like the plot was a little bit rushed. Probably about a 7.5, an 8.
Okay.
It just looks great, and it's one that
visually,
it's one
you
can take
10.
Your kids to. It's one that you can enjoy with anybody. It was funny. It had heart. It had feeling. That's the big three, I think.
Martin, what did you put away? You said you put away something new last night.
I did. I was going to talk about Iron Claw, but I'm like, I don't want to talk about suicide.
Yeah, I need dopamine today.
I want to be happy. Talk about musical.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's bring this to a fucking halt.
So I watched something last night, which was great. It's called The Brother's Son. It's a new Netflix show. It stars Michelle Yeoh. She plays like a mom. I'll just give you like the basic premise of the story. So there are these two brothers, and when they were very, very young, when they were still kids, one parent took one of the kids all the way to Los Angeles, and the other one stayed in Taipei, Taiwan,
okay,
with the other son. So the dad stayed with one of his, with his son in Taipei, Taiwan, but the dad is one of the heads of like the most powerful Asian, Chinese triads, gangsters, basically the families. So his son that stayed with him becomes part of that lifestyle.
Mm.
And becomes born to be taking over when his father passes, yeah, to be that lifestyle.
He's gonna hold the mantle.
So basically, what happens is like this: there's an assassination attempt.
Always is.
On the older son and the father. So the father is worried about the mom and the other brother. So he tells him to check on them. So this basically, it's this story of him going to Los Angeles
to make sure they're all right.
Yeah, to make sure they're all right. But the younger, the other brother who stayed with the mom has no idea about
any
the triads.
Yeah.
Nothing. He's studying to become a doctor in college. That's what he's starting to do. And the mom is a nurse, and he has no idea. He thinks his brother is studying penguins in Antarctica, and the dad is a gambler. That's what
Who plays who else
I
is
can't
in
remember
it?
Who the kids have played. I don't recognize them.
Let me do some. Keep going. I'll do some.
It's Michelle Yeoh, you said, right?
Michelle Yeoh plays the mom, and okay, she's great. Like she plays like such an Asian mom, because like the son comes in to the house where the mom and the other brother are staying, and like there's someone there trying to kill him already. So he kills them, and you see the mom walk in, and she sees the dead body, and she's just like, "Okay, well, have you eaten yet?" You know, like being a mom. Like the mom's a gangster, but she's being like a mom. Like, oh, have you eaten yet? No? Okay, let me make you some noodles. So she starts like, get the green onions. And then like, wait, get the good knife. And he's like washing blood
off the good knife.
Kitchen knife.
Okay. It
and
has
she's like starts chopping to make him beef noodle soup.
Who's it got in it, Jimmy?
It's got Justin Chin from, he was in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's in
yeah.
Fast 9 yeah. And Those Who Wish Me Dead.
That's the Angelina Jolie movie, Those Who Wish Me Dead.
Yeah, I'm not recognizing a lot of other actors.
I think Yo is the big name in it.
Yeah, well, she
she's
is.
The big name.
She always is.
She fuck you up. I love that the Oscars.
Like I said, she plays like an Asian mom, but has a gangster past. Because she's like,
she's hardcore.
In the first episode, they have to dispose of a body, and the mom's basically drilling holes in the body to make to drain the blood from it. And the other son's like, what's going on?
Yeah,
who has no idea? He's just in school.
Okay.
So yeah, he has no idea about the lifestyle. So I think it's the story of like kind of exposing his world to the, you know, his original family's family business, quote
right.
unquote.
Does
but then also the son who's from the gangster world into something maybe more like because he likes the other son who's a gangster loves to bake. Like the opening scene is him baking a cake, and then these people try to assassinate him, and he ends up burning the cake because he took too long to kill them.
Okay, so this
and
is like
pissed off about it.
What kind of cake?
I don't know. I fucking don't know. It looks like it had like these strawberries and icing on it.
Was it
like
a strawberry shortcake?
I don't know. It's yeah, probably a strawberry shortcake. Maybe
that sounds nice.
It was good.
No, well,
it good.
I do have a. This sounds like an Odd Couple dark comedy. Would that?
Yeah, yeah. That's an Odd Couple dark comedy. And the action sequences are amazing. Like they're fucking good.
It's got some
like,
money.
There's some
it's
really
got
good fight scenes in the first episode that you'll enjoy. So I mean, yeah, great action comedy, some good comedic scenes as well. Like the son who lives in LA is an Uber driver, and their family is fucking rich. Like it basically when the guy is about to come to LA, they're in like their fortress or whatever. All you see is just stacks of money, like money going through the counters and stuff like that, and guns. And then fast forward to LA, the kid's driving like an Uber driver. He's like doing Uber, like that's what he does. And like the family's loaded. But yeah, they all kept it from to keep him safe, to keep him out of that world. But it's like the world's colliding sort of thing. So I'm only on episode 2, halfway through it. I like it so far. I'm hooked. So I think I'm gonna enjoy it watching the rest of it.
Is this a Netflix?
Yeah.
Netflix, yes, on Netflix.
Yeah. Just popped up in the last like 24, 48 hours. Like there's a
Yeah,
ton
I think
of
it just came out yesterday or the day
yeah.
before.
So how many drilled holes in a dead body do you give it out of 10?
So far, I'm hooked, probably 8.5 drilled holes.
Right on. We'll have to revisit it once you get to the finale.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, come back with a full review at the end. What the fuck did I watch this week?
What'd you watch this week, Michael?
Well, we watched like a ton over the break.
Yeah, us too.
The one that like I enjoyed the most, and just me and you went to go see it, was Poor Things.
It was lovely.
It's, I will not try to attempt to say, can you bring up the pronunciation of the director's name? Yorgos Lanthimos or Yorgos Lanthimos?
I think you just did a better job than I could ever
do. Perfect. We'll go with that. Sorry. but it is like, it's Frankenstein on speed. Is essentially how you could describe it to somebody. It's a reverse Frankenstein. We have a weird doctor, which is Willem Dafoe, who was medically
mutilated
tortured.
By his father.
Yeah.
He said he was a scientist. But
basically was a mad doctor.
He just seemed like a sadist.
this doctor finds this woman who commits suicide, who's pregnant, and he's
takes
like,
the infant brain.
Well, yeah, he's kind of that doctor. Well, you have to understand that in the background of this movie is a chicken dog, half chicken, half dog.
Yes,
right. So very Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah,
and very cute things, but
oh, they're lovely.
It's an escapist, absurdist comedy, but what
you're
he
not
does,
supposed to take it too seriously.
Not at all. What he ends up doing is he takes the woman who commits suicide, which is Emma Stone's character, and he's like, well, I like to do these weird medical experiments, so I'm going to take the baby from the mother, I'm going to take the brain out of the baby, and I'm going to put it in the mother's brain because she's
life.
Dead, and I'm going to create new life. So what you end up watching is a 30-year-old, one-year-old.
Yeah.
And Emma Stone's baby is the best baby, I think we agreed to.
She nailed it.
Like,
just
she's going to win an award for this. If she doesn't, it will be a travesty. Mark Ruffalo has never been funnier as like the overconfident, like just a misogynistic rich prick lawyer who's trying to bed the 1-year-old, 30-year-old at the same time. Lots of fucking, lots of world traveling. It's her experience
but
of
it's
the
not
world.
The world that we're used to.
No, it's like it was like a steampunk London.
Yeah.
And you don't really like there's technology, but it's not current day technology.
Yeah. It's made up technology.
It really
a lot of top hats.
A lot of big bow ties.
But lots of fucking
tons. Well, because when she realizes it's one of the best scenes when she realizes how to make Bella happy.
Yeah,
is what she says, and like she does have broken English because she's a baby. You got to remember everything that happens is in a 30-year-old body with a 2-year-old's perspective. So she takes a yam and jams it up there and realizes it works and then calls in the maid and she's like, Bella,
I know why you're so mad all the time. I can fix you.
And then grabs her vagina and starts to masturbate her. And she's like, no, Bella, that's not proper. She's like, why, Bella, make happy. Like, it's just absurd. It's cute. It's funny. But the themes in it, like there's socialism in it, there's feminism in it, there's all these things that she goes through in this era of a world that, you know, as you're laughing through it, you're like, oh, there are some smart points to it. Out of everything,
I didn't know Gerard Carmichael was going to be in it either.
He was so fun, yeah. Right? And like, he's the one who took her through, kind of like shepherded her up the mountain of
pessimism,
like, of pessimism, and, yeah. And how to look at the world through a different set of eyes. And at the end of it all, I mean, I think we looked at each other like 37 some odd times, like, what the fuck is happening? I like The Lobster. I like Killing of the Sacred Deer. I like the other stuff that he's done because it's just like if you're not going to find a partner in The Lobster, you turn into your favorite.
These are
animal.
Movies that you're supposed to go to the theater for.
You are, and you're supposed to let them take you for a ride.
It's a real movie.
It's a movie, Harry. It's a
That's
fucking
right.
real movie. And the production design was amazing. It was just fun to look at. Like if you go into this and you're
costumes,
like
costumes, yeah.
If you call this movie out and say this isn't real, you
didn't get it.
You didn't get it. Go
There's
for
a man
ride.
Behind that curtain.
Just go for the fucking ride. Let Emma Stone and Willem Dafoe and Mark Ruffalo take you on a fucking journey.
So funny too. It had no business being that funny, but truly hilarious.
My rating will be for the people who've seen it.
How many yams?
How many yams?
Furious jumps?
How many? Oh my God, that's what she calls sex, Martin. It's amazing when she figures out how to have sex. She's like, "Can we furious jump again?" like Ruffalo's like, I'm beaten. I need time to rest. And she's like, no, we must
How
go
many
again.
Multiple Emma make happy times were you going to give it?
I'm going to give it an 8.5. Like, he really, like, I mean, the guy who directed it again, Agos Morthos, or whatever the fuck his hard to pronounce Greek name is, he came from the 2006 Olympics, the ones that were in Athens. He helped create the opening and closing ceremonies.
Oh, I see.
That's his basis of like where he really started to get to create.
Bizarre.
Very bizarre that you go from an Olympic opening ceremony to movies. But hey, whatever. So he's a guy who's like, let's fucking do this. Let's make some weird shit. Let's question people. But inside of it, have actual things you can talk about.
Yeah.
Go see it in a theater.
I'm just putting on eye drops. Keep talking.
Yeah, no.
Dude. You don't see Mark Ruffalo's hog, though.
You don't.
A little disappointed there. How much nudity is in it, they could have shown some man hog.
I did think about that after. I was like, I commended the nudity because the nudity was natural, right?
Yeah.
She just doesn't care because her mind is so young that nudity is not a thing, right?
Exactly.
But not showing his penis after showing her full frontal.
You got to show some dong.
I was like, we're a little off here. Like, whoever the.
Come on, Ruffalo.
Yeah. Show your
Buffalo.
There's full frontal in it?
Show the Hulk.
Show us the Hulk.
Anyways, you guys want to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Martin, what time is that?
Beep. Was I supposed to say something?
I think he's supposed to say debate time.
Yeah, yeah.
Debate time!
There it is! Roar!
At my signal, unleash hell. Don't push it. Don't push it, I'll give you a war you won't believe.
Goldstein. Give me a fat beat to beat my buddy chest.
I know what kind of guy you are. I never would have agreed to work with you.
Are you gonna bark all day, me doggy? Or are you gonna bite? What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch you. Would you repeat it?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time, as we talked to you at the top of the show. This is the best musical debate. And as Jimmy and me and Martin will all preface, these are some of our favorite musicals. And we just decided to see which one
movie
of us.
Musicals.
Yeah.
But whichever one wins is the best of all time. And there's no arguing against that.
I 100% don't stand behind that. That being said, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 brackets for you with 2 picks each. Charles wanted to be here. Charles is can't sit up straight right now. He did something to his back, but he did send his picks in. So without further ado, let's get into our first bracket. It's Martin's going to be judging this one. Whoever's sitting out is going to be judging for it. So we've got to impress the big head in the room today for this round. I have got Moulin Rouge, which I was recently introduced to by Shauna, and Jimmy has Hamlet 2.
Yes.
Which is all kinds of amazing.
Which is described on Google as comedy musical. Listen, I'm going to get points based on meta because it's a musical that takes place in a comedy.
Do you want to go first?
I'm already going
okay,
first.
Okay, it's fine. I'm waiting. Keep going. So
Hamlet 2.
Michael still has to unravel his book of notes.
God damn it.
Bought a printer. I like printing things.
So Hamlet 2, if you haven't seen it, which you probably haven't, hapless high school theater teacher Dana Marsh, wonderfully played by Steve Coogan, writes a pretentious musical adaptation of Hollywood blockbusters for his indifferent students to perform. His home life is equally terrible, with his hostile and unhappy wife, played by Catherine Keener, another great one, having an affair with their lodger, David Arquette, whom we love. When Dana's latest brainstorm, a musical version of Hamlet that includes time travel and a visit from Jesus, threatens to get him fired, his students band together on his behalf. 62% on Rotten Tomatoes. Pretty damn high for the kind of movie that this is. A lot of physical comedy. The songs in it are wonderful. I guess that's the most important thing here, right?
Yeah.
Let's get into the songs. So first, we get the meta points because it's a musical taking place inside of a movie.
I appreciated when you did that.
Incredible. No. That's yeah, you no. know what? I'm drawn from the deep bag here. I remember seeing this fucking movie on cable and I was like, this is the most amazing thing. Like when it came out, it was just so stupid, so impossibly dumb. I don't know. It's directed by Andrew Fleming. Has he done anything that you guys can think of?
I would love to tell you if I brought the iPad downstairs.
I don't recognize the name. And looking through his stuff, he did the Nancy Drew movie.
So it's safe to say that this is his big
pièce de résistance.
Yeah, thank you.
Exactly. So
Italian I was looking for.
I wish he would do more things like this because it's just hilarious and so much fun. The songs in it are super memorable. We won't even start with the big one. I'm going to save the big one for when this moves on to the next round because I'm not worried about fucking Moulin Rouge. Okay. we'll just talk about possibly the second best song, because that's how not worried I am about this. We'll talk about Raped in the Face. We're going to talk about Raped in the Face.
What's it called? Well,
it's called Raped in the Face.
Yeah.
Now, well, a shorter song, I think it touches on themes that people don't normally want to talk about. I think it made Elizabeth Shue laugh. And that's important. She is in it. This movie got her back into acting.
This was the one that the agents were like, have you seen Hamlet 2? She's amazing in it. Who's she in it again?
She plays herself.
That's right.
She plays herself. Yeah. She's the school nurse at this school because she's quit acting at this point.
That's funny.
Jimmy, where did you watch this?
I think the only place to watch it would be through... Oh, it's on Prime. It is on Prime. I think it might be...
Tubi, maybe two?
It's on Prime for sure, but I think you would have to pay $5.
American Prime. No, not a month.
Yeah, $5 a month.
$5 a month for this movie.
Steve Coogan ends up playing a lot of the roles when they finally do the musical at the end of the movie.
I do remember that. Like, he's Hamlet. He's
boundary driving. It makes people think. People walk out of it. Not everyone enjoys this. And that, I think, makes it a good musical.
Oh, when you want to leave and get your money back.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
When it's pissing off Christians, we're in.
All right, well, let me retort to this. So Moulin Rouge, by definition, is a musical. It's a big spectacle. It's a big production. It's silly. Moulin Rouge is more of a sex comedy than it is actually, like, it's a love story, right? And it's a love story of a writer who's going after a prostitute, essentially, in 1900 Paris.
She's a courtesan, lady of the evening.
Lady of the evening. All right, lady of the night. Yes, I do appreciate that.
No sex shaming here.
Yeah.
That's right, sex worker.
Sex positive. We're a sex positive show, Michael.
My lady of the evening, Satine, all right, played by Nicole Kidman.
My favorite kind of crackers.
Right. I've got the wrong
name. Saltine.
Yeah. No, salty. Satine. And Christian.
Love him with soup.
Christian played by the most beautiful man in Hollywood,
Ewan McGregor.
Okay.
Ewan.
He is.
First off, the reason I think it's one of the best musicals is because most musicals, you get original songs. This is a jukebox musical.
You think that makes it better, that there's no original music?
Well, there is original music in it, don't get me wrong, but actually there is no original music. It's either sung by the cast or it's sung by the people who actually record
it. Oh, yeah, that makes it better.
The reason it makes it better is for guys like me who don't really respond to musicals that well. If I know there's good tracks in it that I know that I'm going to sing along to, I'm going to be able to get that much more into it, right? So it's an approachable musical because it's got Elton John, it's got David Bowie, it's got Paul McCartney.
You can sing along to Rape It in the Face.
I know you can, but are they as beloved and known? Like, how many put Rape in a Face on in a room of 10 people? What, two people are going to sing and you're one of them?
They'll love it. It's boundary driving.
The story is a true musical story. It's about pining for love. It's the writer going after the courtesan. Martin, just want you to know I said that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's well-versed.
Kidman is the epitome of a big, sexy performance. Her Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend performance is so much fun. John Leguizamo as the inappropriate midget. I mean, they could have given it to somebody else.
Little person.
Little person, thank you. Duke, who is basically interfering with it all. That's where the sex comedy comes into play. That's where
with
it gets
the
fun.
The Duke,
because Ewan McGregor, he wants Nicole Kidman.
Can you Scottish that up a little
the
bit?
The Duke?
Ewan McGregor? There you go.
the love affair, the love triangle, I should say, between the two of them. Basically, the writing of the play inside the musical is a little meta to
Wait,
your
where's
point
the triangle
well.
With two people?
He's just biting off of my point.
No. You just brought
is
up
there
one
Is a third
iron
party
head.
Involved, Michael, that's trying to stop the romance?
The triangle is the Duke wants to marry Satine. And,
okay.
Why is it called Moulin Rouge?
Because Moulin Rouge is the...
The hotel?
The bar where all hedonistic and sexy times happen.
That's
where the Babylon
Paris
parties
too.
Happen.
Yeah, it's, okay. And it's 1900 Paris, right? Okay. Like the very big sexual revolution going on there.
With the French?
Just to point out my triangle, though, it's the Duke going after Satine, and Christian's also in love with Satine, but they can't let the Duke know that they've got an affair going on behind. So between the three
so
of them.
So there is a love triangle.
When they first all
that's
meet.
That's just an affair.
Like
that's not a love. That's an affair.
Well, no, because she's not with either of them, right?
Oh, okay. Then no, that's not an affair.
Both men are pining for her.
She's playing the field.
She's playing. She's got
good for her.
She's got some picks. So I just think on its nose, the production value, the sing-songy aspect of it. It is way more of a musical than Hamlet 2. Even though a musical's happening in Hamlet 2, mine is actually a musical where musical breaks take place, where big songs happen. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir? You really want to get in my face
right
now? I could
write a musical if I didn't have to use any of my own songs.
But that's why it's more beloved than Hamlet 2. Because it has songs that pull people in from different generations.
Oh, my God.
It's easier to swallow.
Uncultured.
Anyways.
It's tough.
Martin, it's your turn.
It's tough because I've seen Moulin Rouge. I really like that musical. But I also agree with Jimmy. Like, it doesn't have any of its own original music.
It doesn't have to, though. That doesn't make a musical a musical. That just makes it a better musical if it has original music. It doesn't not
I know, that's
make
what
it.
I mean. That's why I'm like, I kind of...
I'm giving you points.
Because here's what I like about Moulin Rouge. I love the acting. Ewan McGregor is like one of my favorites. I love Nicole Kidman. And who didn't know that song with Christina Aguilera, Maya, fucking...
Put the track list right here for Moulin my next Rouge. Round if it
he
went through.
He printed out the track list.
I did. Christina Aguilera, Little Kim, Maya, and Pink for Lady Marmalade.
Yeah, that was a great song.
Hang on. Lady Marmalade with Christina Aguilera, Little Kim, and again, played twice in the musical. That's how good that song is. Sparkling Diamonds, Nicole Kidman, Rhythm of the Night, Valeria, Your Song,
fine.
The Elton John.
I'm doing it. You don't have Rock Me Sexy Jesus. You don't have that. You don't. They never will.
I made him fire his second bullet.
Oh, my God. This is tough. I got it.
Steve
Martin,
Coogan.
Just remember.
Surf's up, dude.
That there is a big Moulin Rouge fan base in Vancouver, and I don't want them coming for you.
There's a huge Hamlet 2 fan base in Morden.
Okay, I'll give you like one sentence each person, because it's hard. Like, you both did good. It's hard for me to pick. One sentence.
Okay.
Just one sentence. No runoffs, just one sentence. Summarize it. What do you want to say? Go.
Rock
one sentence.
Me,
Jimmy, you start. You are
Rock Me Sexy Jesus. He died for our sins. You better believe
me,
us.
That's pretty good. Mike?
Unrequited love that...
Sing it. I want to hear you sing.
I know you don't mind. I know you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is. When you're in the world.
I can't not give it to Michael because he's singing
right now.
That was nice.
Fuck yes. Give me Moulin Rouge.
That was nice.
Michael sang, Jimmy.
You want to sing Rock Me Sexy Jesus? You got that committed to me?
I will.
Because you know why I do? Because it's a popular song.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we'll see how far that gets
you. I give it to
you,
Michael, if you sang the opening of Lady Marmalade. You go, hey, sister, go, sister. Better get that dough, sister. And I'm like, oh, Michael wins.
I already screwed up with Prostitute. I didn't want to step on a really good female power ballad.
Sorry, Jimmy, he sang. He sang, dude.
Fine.
What am I going to do?
That was my dark horse. Anyways, I don't care.
Jimmy, because you lost, you can judge the next round.
Damn right I can.
Power. So the next one, we're going to go with Charles is called in message first. And this is for the producers versus Little Shop of Horrors. Are you sure it's Little Shop of Horrors, Martin? I know you
want to go with Little Shop. Little Shop.
This is going to be a tough one. Is that Charles?
Debaters, what's up? First
what?
Of all, gentlemen, I'm so sorry I can't be there in person. Due to an unforeseen, stupid medical situation.
He's hooked up to an iron lung.
I have to rest all weekend. I'm doing good. I just can't really do a lot of movement.
He's got crabs.
But anyways, let's get to why I am here virtually. The debate, musicals. All right, my first pick is The Producers. Obviously, Mel Brooks, one of the greatest comedian geniuses of all time.
That's true.
I know the original one is from the 60s, but with Gene Wilder, which is definitely worth a watch. It's great. But the one I'm specifically referencing is 2005.
Lane Broderick.
The Producers with Nathan Lane, Matthew Broderick, Will Ferrell, Uma Thurman. So that's the one that I'm looking at. Absolutely flawless musical. It's fucking hilarious. I mean, the whole premise. You have these two guys that are purposely trying to make... It's kind of like what they
pick
did
the
with
worst
Cat,
player.
Batgirl. Yeah. So imagine if they made a musical of that. They made this movie, put all this money in it, but they put more insurance than if it flops, they'd make money out of it. And it ends up being a fucking hit, obviously. Who wouldn't want to go see Springtime for Hitler?
I would. I'd see
if
that.
You got it.
Hey, you like Rock Me, Baby Jesus.
Blah, blah, blah. Come on. They have so many good songs in this. They're just, it's such a funny play. There's so many good songs. So many great actors show up, actually, in the 2005 version. A lot of musical talent. Set pieces, costumes. I mean, so many good one-liners from it. So many good, like, segments. And, yeah. Who doesn't want to see a musical about Nazis? So that's my first pick to producers. Springtime for Hitler.
He sang.
And Germany.
I think that, you know what that means, Martin. You got to sing now.
I'm fucking singing for
you
sure.
You set the standard, bud.
Charles makes a lot of excellent points there.
So I picked Little Shop of Horrors, the movie. Directed, I don't know if you know this, directed by Frank Oz.
I did know that,
Wars
actually.
Muppets.
Yeah.
Starring Rick Moranis, Ellen Green, Vincent Gardenia, Steve Martin, Levi Stubbs, James Belushi, John Candy, Christopher Guest, and Bill fucking Murray.
Hold on, James Belushi?
Yeah, the older
brother. Yeah, he was in it. He was in it.
That's got to be Jim.
Jim Belushi's the brother that's alive.
I've never heard anyone call him James Belushi. It's not according to James.
It's according to James.
James Belushi's the one that's alive. Remember, he's like the brother that's...
According to Jim. It was according to Jim.
Yeah, James. James Adam Belushi, his brother. What can I say about this? Great musical. Here's one of the things that I love about this. It's got Steve Martin as a villain. Like, when do you ever see that?
I don't think
he did. Jerk?
He's not a villain in the Jerk.
He's the main character of the Jerk. He's a protagonist.
He's an anti-hero. Yeah, I don't. I think you're right.
I think he doesn't do bad. He does.
No, he's great. He plays a dentist. A dentist who enjoys his job too much.
The biggest villains of all.
Yeah.
Who loves nitrous oxide.
I was just going to say.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. We put a tank in the room.
What is not to like about that? He's got a motorcycle that just stops on its own when it gets off it. Just... It's great. Like, he's great in it. Bill Murray, too, as the patient who loves the dentist, going to the dentist too much. Like, that's a great scene. It's just a back and forth of, like, who's going to win? And eventually Bill Murray wins because the sadist versus the masochist. Who wins? Eventually the masochist wins. That's the great scene all on its own. Yeah. And that song, I'll Be Your Dentist. Like, who doesn't love that song? That's such a catchy tune.
It's what it is it's all of the funny things that go into Only Murders in the Building whenever they make the last season was they were making a musical. And
it's a horror comedy, Jimmy. Yeah. Horror comedy musical.
Can you hear that, Jimmy? He's speaking.
When has that ever happened?
It's actually James.
James Belushi in a horror comedy musical.
I do love Rick Moranis.
He's such a nice person, and he's so good in this. Like, he's the guy who's down and out in his luck, wants the girl, can't get the girl because he's a fucking nerd.
And then needs
but eventually
a plant
gets
to tell
the girl
how to
write picket fence because he chops up the bully into little pieces and feeds it to his plant.
The system works.
Yeah.
The system works. Actually, the bully killed himself, so he didn't really murder anybody. He just defiled the corpse, so it's not that bad of a not that bad of a charge.
That's true. Like Ed Gein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great comparison. Jimmy.
James Skinner?
James Skinner.
A lot of good songs.
I'll be your dentist.
A lot of good songs. I love Suddenly Seymour.
This is a tough one.
Zoe and I got to see this off Broadway.
Really?
In New
it's
York
good, isn't
we
it?
Went. It was fantastic.
Have you seen the movie, Jimmy?
Yeah, I love the movie.
Yeah, the movie's great. I mean, are you gonna pick Rick Moranis or Nazis, Jimmy?
Huh. Wow, he's making it very hard for you to pick now.
I don't know if you know this, but Winnipeg has a big anti-Nazi community.
He's made it very...
I think the world does, actually, Jimmy.
Oh, my God.
Frank Oz, eh?
Guilt. You're like a mother-in-law, Martin.
Because I'm in a battle with myself where is it going to be Mel Brooks or is it going to be Frank Oz? And I'm kind of...
That's a tough one because it's two great comedy minds.
Also, comedy horror, Jimmy. Comedy horror.
You're right.
touching on your little horror.
Why don't you play Charles's video again?
you need it. You need it for homework.
Let's go. I think Martin's right. I think I got to go Little Shop.
All right, there you go. Sorry. Thanks for the call in there, Charles. And we hope you feel better.
He might
Thank
be
you,
back.
Jimmy.
There it is. Little Shop of Horrors. Go to Martin.
You just got to beat Michael in the next round.
Well, you know what? I got original music, Jimmy.
Well, it's actually...
If Charles is go on to the next round, we're just going to play the video, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're just going to keep playing the video over and over and over again. Because he didn't... I was like, make one video, Charles, not three. Not four, just one. So next round, third round, is another Charles phone-in. We've got...
South Park, bigger, longer, uncut.
Exactly. Versus me with... one of the best rock musicals ever, Blues Brothers, which was your almost pick. And I was like, no, I cannot. I was going to be Across the Universe and Moulin Rouge. But I was like, no, I can't. I can't ignore Baby Clothes.
So do you want to go first then?
I kind of want to go
first. Okay, go first.
So, all right. Can I just speak to the room here?
You mean me?
Well, the studio, the people in the show.
Who's judging?
You.
Yeah, you. You.
I
you
am? Can, okay.
Yeah. So... Uh-huh. Is there another musical that had cocaine in the budget?
All of them.
No.
All of them.
It is a proven
fact.
Anything
made in the 80s had
cocaine
in the budget,
Jimmy.
It is a
proven fact. The reason why Blues Brothers is so good is because cocaine was in the budget, because it was absurd, ridiculous.
You're telling me Rick Moranis wasn't on that booger sugar?
Oh, I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm just saying this one is known for in the rider,
yeah,
in the budget.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They actually asked for cocaine. So as soon as you allow guys to like go down the rabbit hole of drugs and shooting a movie, you really do allow for anything to happen, which is the creativity, the music. I just want to talk about the cameos.
He's got
this,
another
okay?
sheet.
I have so many sheets for you today. But this sheet.
Do you hear them flipping through?
Can you see them, everybody? They're
He's
right
got a
here.
Binder.
All right. the cameo aspect.
He has a trapper keeper.
What other musicals bring in as many cameos as the Blues Brothers have? Not just cameos of other people, but cameos of musicians to play. For example, okay, we've got Steve Lawrence as Maurice Sly, the agent who booked the Blues Brothers before Jake Slight. Twiggy as the woman who flirts with Elwood in the gas station. Frank Oz as the corrections officer. Charles Napier as Tucker McElroy. Winnebago driver and lead singer for the Good Old Boys. Steven Spielberg is the Cook County assessor. John Walsh, or Joe Walsh from the Eagles. Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman, is the waiter. The California Community Choir. On top of that, Ray Charles... Aretha Franklin, James Brown, Cab Calloway, John Lee Hooker, and Carrie Fisher round off the cameos. Carrie Fisher can sing. Ray Charles does a performance. Aretha Franklin does a performance.
Carrie
You're not
Fisher
watching...
also on that Booger Sugar.
On that Booger Sugar show. Galaxy Far, Far Away up her nose.
Respect. That's my princess right there.
What I'm getting to in this round is that in musicals, you have people who perform and sing. You never get the actual performers being cast members in it, which makes it that much more fun. Because you've got Jake and Elwood, right? Or is it Jim? No, it's Jake. And what you have
is Jane Belushi in this one?
Is as idiotic as they are, they're musically talented. So watching these two Saturday Night Live characters actually get to perform,
it's pretty cool,
and jam out is a lot of fun. And since Nazis are the theme of the day, these guys go after Nazis in this one. There's a big car chase full of Nazis, and the Nazis lose. Charles, I know you can't hear me, Charles, but I'm not sponsoring Nazis, Charles. Anyways, I concede the rest of this round. We'll let Charles speak out. But I just want to say, musically, we'll talk about why those musical performances make it in the next one when this wins. But
oh, wow.
We'll hand this one
Very
over to Charles.
Very confident.
Okay, my next pick is the South Park movie, the original first South Park movie. I think it's called South Park Bigger, Larger, and Uncut.
Circumcision joke.
It's a fucking musical. You goddamn right it is. And to prove it, one of my favorite songs in the movie, Blame Canada, was nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Song.
Shit.
Yeah. And the creators went to the Oscars high on acid.
Yeah, they did.
Dressed in the best dressed from the previous year. Anyways, it's an amazing clip. Check it out. But let's get back to it. South Park, Bigger, Larger, and Uncut. It's a masterpiece. I mean, you have the same driving creative force that did Book of Mormon, which is another phenomenal musical.
Conflation.
He's got you, bro.
But yeah, they made original songs. I love
Remember
the
whole, that, Martin.
Like, Canadian
not the
bacon
same.
Kind of premise. The fact that America is going to go to war with Canada over something like Terrence and Phillip. Oh my God, it's so stupid and funny. But yeah, you have Uncle Fucker,
great song.
Which, I mean, iconic on its own. You got to find the clitoris, which, I mean, everybody needs to do, and really it would help if everybody found it. Saddam has his own, like, Saddam has a fucking song in it that's hilarious.
What's with Satan, these dictators, of course, has a great song in it.
Cartman has one of my favorite songs. It's all about how Kyle's mom is a big fat bitch, is the biggest bitch in the whole world. Yeah, it's a great one. Bitch. You're a fucking bitch, bitch. Uncle Fucker. Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're a lying old cheap Uncle Fucker. I don't know. You don't eat or sleep or mold a lawn. Just fuck your uncle all day long. There it is. And yeah, blame Canada. I mean, I love, it's so
Michael
funny watching
furiously
South Park because,
flipping
like,
through his notes.
Yeah, the villain is Canada, and it's
waiting
hilarious.
For the rebuttal.
And then that whole song, Blame Canada, is, was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, you
so
can't, how do you compete with that?
But yeah, I those can. Are my picks, boys.
He thinks he can.
Do what you will with them. Obviously, I know they won, so I expect a video message back of you guys declaring Charles Supremacy. With musicals. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm high.
Charles
I love you guys.
White supremacy.
Good luck with the rest of the debate. And I will be there in person for the next one. Ow!
Ow!
Okay, I know the Oscar thing.
Well,
is
hold
in
on, because he doesn't get to defend
himself.
Whoa,
that's it, Michael.
Hey, whoa, you gave us a
that's
sentence.
It.
You gave
you
me
had yours? That was Charles?
He was having trouble deciding who to pick.
You know how many Emmys I have, not Emmys, fucking Grammys I have between my musical cast.
People wipe their ass with Grammys.
Cultural phenomenon. All uh-huh. right, okay, here's what I'm going to say. When they made the Blues Brothers, John Belushi was considered America's...
It killed
favorite
him.
House guest.
It killed him.
Have you heard this story?
No.
When they were making the Blues Brothers, there's one of the chase scenes. They couldn't find John. They found him down the street in someone's house. He had walked into the house because he was so fucked up, made himself a bologna sandwich, and fell asleep on the couch.
Oh.
The people who lived in the house came downstairs.
Saw John Belushi,
woke him up, sent him back to the production. He walks in, goes on set, does his performance. Okay. That alone... In an animation studio where you have multiple takes and multiple tries. This is big budget, action-packed musical, fun filmmaking
it
that the Blues Brothers
Jim Belushi.
Is. It killed John Belushi. it launched so many careers as well, too. If you just...
I don't know. The best song in it is the theme from Rawhide. How do you...
You don't like Shake a Tail Feather when they do Ray Charles's bit? Like,
and no, like, they're all fine. It's just not as good as theme from Rawhide.
If he's going to mention Big Fat Bitch and Uncle Fucker, then like I get to talk about like what music do you play?
Had your chance.
Hey, listen.
That's not fair to rebuttal, Mike. I got to give it to Blame Canada because he sang just like you did. He sang.
Not today, brother. And give him a score of 100.
All right,
110%.
Considering I haven't judged around yet, and I want some control over
it's your
fuckers,
turn.
It's my turn to hold court. We've got number 7 and number 2. We got the Muppets versus Les Mis with Martin.
You're going down, brother.
I want Jimmy to go first.
Okay. So if you're confused, this is the 2011 Muppets with Jason Segel.
Thanks. Cleared it up.
Yeah, just needed to fill that in. I mean, man. I'll just dive right into the songs. The songs in this Muppet movie are fantastic. I'll start off with the best one. Man or Muppet is fucking fantastic. Am I a man
it's like
or am I a Muppet?
It's like the original I'm Just Ken.
It slaps. And he's having a true crisis because Jason Segel is wondering, am I really even a man? I can't. My wife hates me. My brother hates me. Like, am I even a man, really?
Should I just be a Muppet?
And his Muppet brother is trying to figure out, well, am I even a Muppet anymore? Am I as funny as the rest of these guys? Can I even hang with the Muppets?
Yeah.
Existential crisis in a Muppet movie. Oh, my God. I don't know how many times I sing Me Party by myself when Amy Adams is at a restaurant by herself and she sings about how she's having a me party. I do that every single time I go to a movie or out to eat by myself. I talk about how I'm having a me party today. Cultural relevance.
Sure, yeah.
And also, oh my God, when they just... since you like this so much, Michael, they do one not original song where they do that we built this city and it's the Muppets. And it's the Muppets. And it's their cleanup montage when they're cleaning up the theater to get the group ready for their next performance. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, being able to perform a musical.
Original songs and unoriginal songs, which you seem to love so much with your Moulin Rouge.
I do, because that's how I was introduced to musicals, was like, I didn't know
it's
you
cheap.
Could. I didn't
it's
know
cheap.
You. It's sure. Okay, it's a little lowbrow, right? It's a little low-hanging fruit, but it gets me into a theater where then I go and I want to appreciate more things like
that. Well, then you should love this.
Yeah, I haven't seen all of it. I mean, I know how Jason Segel works with Muppets. I think
he's one of the
best people to
I'll tell you, he sings better than fucking Russell Crowe. I'll tell you that much.
I just have to give you a point for being able to, first of all, putting on a musical is already tough enough, but doing it with puppets. Michael? Well, Muppets. All right, fucking Muppets.
You're being racist?
Truther. what about the French, Martin? What do the French have to say about this?
I am not Russell
Crowe. I'm just going to blurt out the cast here.
Okay.
This all-star cast. You got Hugh Jackman, which I think this probably one of his best roles.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe, Anne Hathaway. I think she was nominated for an Oscar for this one.
I believe she won for
Eddie Redmayne, Helena Bonham Carter, and Sacha Baron Cohen.
That's too many names.
That's six names
Look
for
that
two people.
All-star cast.
They
right
could have
there.
A whole other person.
Yeah.
Let's go into, and you know what? I don't care if you like covers, Michael, all original music.
Andrew Lloyd Webber. Yeah,
and
no,
some of the most memorable music of all time.
Yeah, but you have to listen to Russell Crowe sing it.
You do.
I Dreamed a Dream. Like, everyone knows that one.
Yep.
Fucking Master of the House.
Yep.
Master of Puppets.
Even if it's so well known, they reference it in Seinfeld.
Les Mis has bridged gaps. Les Mis has been done on lots of cartoons and lots of animation.
It's won right. All the musical awards.
It has.
When it was out on Broadway. Like, I mean, it's great.
Jean Valjean.
Sacha Baron Cohen and Helena Bonham Carter doing Master of the House. I mean, what a catchy tune. Master of the House, is it worth me spit? Comforter, philosopher, and lifelong shit. Cunning little brain, regular tear. Think he's quite a lover, but it's not much there. And I did it in a fucking accent, Michael.
Who sings that one?
That was Helena Bonham Carter sings that line.
Beautiful.
Talking about Sacha Baron Cohen.
Are you done? Or you want some more time?
Do I need more time? I could go all day with this thing. I've seen this. I saw the original Broadway production when it was out with my mom. She was the one who first introduced me to this.
Yep.
And I saw the movie. So I'm a big fan of this. I mean, it's a Victor Hugo classic. Like, the story is great. Like, a story about a man who steals a loaf of bread to feed his starving family and is sentenced to a lifetime in prison. Should he have been?
Yeah, no, it's there's a lot of human themes in it. There's a lot of, like, dual realities in it with what we go through.
Mine has 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. And that isn't a lie.
Okay, Citizen Kane.
It's real.
It's no Paddington, though.
It's not Paddington 2, but what is?
Fozzie's no Paddington is all we're saying.
He's almost there. Waka waka indeed.
Okay, well, I love Muppets, and I think Muppets are...
Yeah, you can stop there.
...true brilliance of
Muppets
comedy.
Are moving on. Let's go.
Yeah, you said that. As one who came forward with Moulin Rouge and likes a big production design and something that can travel and be a show, because Moulin Rouge is a musical that travels, the Muppets have to stay in Universal Studios.
No, like, they travel. They tour.
Yeah, okay.
They took Manhattan.
And then went back home.
What do you want, man? They go from New York to Los Angeles.
Yeah, but they don't stop.
They drove.
I know, but like a road. Anyway.
You know why it's called Les Miserables? Because that's how I felt watching it.
And it's so much. Like, it's what it's supposed to do. It's like Iron Claw. It's not supposed to be uplifting. It's
well, the Muppets is.
I know the Muppets is. The Muppets is for sure. But at the same time, you are picking a classic top five earning Tony Award winning musical.
Gonzo is a better singer than Bald Anne Hathaway.
But it's
there, I said it.
Wow. Converted. That's a lot. I
don't know how she sings with hair. I don't.
You are sitting next to my Muppet. It is on camera right now.
And he's giving you quite a cunty look.
I know he is. He's saying I should pick Muppets, but I'm going
he's
to.
He's like, really?
I'm going to give
really,
it.
Really, Michael?
I'm going to give it to Martin.
Can you believe this shit? He's It's like, fucking really?
I love sticking my hand up something else and pretending to be another person. I think it's really fun. I think it's really cute. I bought one for my boss at work. Like those, they're, I am, I grew, like I'm, you, every time you bring up a Muppet, I love it. We should make a movie that we really like into a Muppet version.
Yeah, pandering.
I, but I'm sorry. My heart of hearts, my musical theater training, my upbringing, my love of Jesus Christ Superstar, and
oh,
Miss
but
Saigon,
you don't love
and,
Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
I but it's not.
I've got him. I got him there. I got him in a corner.
Very true.
Put Les Mis up. I don't care. I get to judge the rest.
I get to fuck you all. Okay. All right. In the semifinals we go. So I'm back up with Moulin
Rouge. You guys
always
fuck me at these.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Littlest Hobo should have won Best Dog.
Still hanging on to that.
Stifler's mom was the best mom.
Do we need to talk about this after the show?
No, I'm fine.
Stifler's mom's got it going on.
Jimmy, you won the last debate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I did.
Yeah.
I am
the last debate.
Don't be so greedy.
Calm down.
That's for the Lord.
Dap. Okay, who do you want to go first? You want Martin or me? We got Little Shop of Horrors versus Moulin Rouge. So true musical versus true musical. Traveling and movie.
Let's go with Michael.
Okay. So,
second round.
As much as I love a good, funny musical,
it seems like you don't, Michael.
No, but the things that I like about musicals are the over-the-top drama.
Martin's freaking
and,
out.
And the pining for love, the unrequited love. But mine has such a heartbreaking story at the end that grabs you and is universal. If you remember, Satine gets sick, and we start the movie, we start the musical by a story that has already happened. And
he's
then,
doing T-pose.
Why is he doing you? Oh, he's
stretching. I'm stretching. Oh. I gotta limber up for this argument.
Oh my God. He's a fucking warrior.
Yeah, I'd be afraid.
Zombie
anyways,
rule, you know,
if you remember, what happens in the end, James, Satine gets sick and dies. So this whole entire journey that you go through, as funny as it is in certain scenes, like there's over the top sexy moments. There's Ewan McGregor crawling around under her skirt.
Do you see his hog?
Nobody's hog is shown in this. Stop wanting hogs.
That loses points.
I'm sorry, I didn't pick a full frontal.
There's
sorry,
hog in Little Shop.
I'm sorry, I didn't pick the Penis of the Puppetry musical for you. But what it is it's fun and it's a journey, but it's a relatable journey. As much as I love a giant plant eating people that you have to feed in the
how
back.
How exactly do you relate to 1899 France?
I don't relate to 1899 France, but I relate to the fact that there is one true love, and that when you lose
nice.
That one true love, sometimes it can absolutely shatter you. And the performance within the play of their love happening through different sequences and different scenes. First, they fall in love. Then he loses her. Then they fall out of love. And then she realizes she made the wrong choice.
And then he grew that rat tail braid.
Yeah, that's true. But it's I'm a huge fan of that journey of the guy chasing the girl and the writing. Like, I wrote as a kid. I would write poems. I would write poetry.
No, I get that. I feel that way about team assembly movies.
Right, where they were.
Those make me cry.
Watching the team get assembled and then work together.
To solve the problem.
And everybody's rooting for Christian in this. Like, he's got, like, John Leguizamo's inappropriate little person character.
His arms are the same length.
Exactly. Like, you'd think that there'd be something that would have been changed in CGI. But it just,
they gave
relatable.
Him the arms of the bad guy that falls out of the window in RoboCop.
It's heartfelt. Musicals are supposed to be a little over the top, and everything is over the top in this, including the love, including
it's not a little over the top.
It's a lot over the top.
It's Boz.
It's like, what is it?
It's Boz to the wall.
It is Boz. You're right. But yeah, I think in true musical fashion, you've got this three-act world. You've got someone who's trying to change their life, who sings their heart out through it, and then finally gets what they're looking for, only to lose it in the end. Just has a little bit more to do with the genre than Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay.
As great as Little Shop of Horrors is.
The sweat drips down my boss.
are you limber? You good over there?
I'm limber.
Okay.
All right. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Are you done?
You done?
That's the ultimate debate confidence. Are you
fucking,
done?
Are you fucking done?
Is this over?
Mic drop.
All right, here we go.
The end of 8 Mile.
I'm just gonna read a little something here for you, Jimmy.
Oh, he's going to.
When I was younger, just a little bad kid, my mama noticed all the funny things I did, like shooting puppies with a BB gun. I poisoned guppies, and when I was done, that's what my mama said. What did she say? She said, my boy, someday I think you'll find a way to make your tendencies pay. You'll be a dentist. You have a talent for causing people pain.
just.
I mean, come on. Little Shop of Horrors, Jimmy. You know it. I know it. We all know it. Steve Martin.
I think
Rick Moranis,
Martin has a dentistry.
All thing. Original music. What more do you want? And Rick Moranis chopping up a body in one of the scenes. Chopping up a body.
You've heard
the least
before.
Likely person
you've
to chop up a body time. Ever.
But I didn't like yours the first time.
That's a big... Okay, all right, fair enough.
Right, Jimmy?
I truly,
chopping up
truly
a body.
Truly, the no original music thing kind of gets me.
Ugh!
I don't not think
why
it's
do you
a,
need it to be composed?
It's not a musical. It just, you know...
And the,
like,
and the giant
Manuel Miranda
animatronic
was
plant, Jimmy... They animatronic plant. That was no CGI plant. That's
no,
not a CGI
wasn't.
Plant. That's a Frank Oz plant, dude. That's Frank
yeah.
Oz.
I think he's planting the plant to win.
I loved his prison TV show.
Yes, Oz was great. There's a lot of that made me never want to go to jail ever.
Ever.
I thought jail was just a fun place where you get to hang out with your boys.
Oh, you think I can go to jail with my last name, Martin? That can't happen. They aren't going to accept that it's a last name. They aren't going to
listen.
I got softer skin than you. They're going to eat me alive.
But you can
I'll
fight.
I'll use this currency.
But you know how to fight.
So, I mean.
Even then, still, I can't fight like 20 dudes
his
coming
fists,
at me.
His fists are so soft.
I love this make-believe prison fight we're in, but who do you think?
It's Little Shop. It's Little Shop. It's
like
original
you
music.
You say that
it's
like
hilarious.
You're throwing a knife directly into my heart.
I am. He's got a talent for
I am trying to hurt your
me.
Feelings.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not. Fuck Moulin Rouge.
You know what I'm looking forward to? Charles arguing the same thing over here.
Stop trying to check yours. He hovered over his own check.
I just missed it by a hair. Okay, so Charles has moved on. And that first argument was fantastic. And Les Mis has also moved on. And Jimmy got to vote for the last one. So
I think it's up to you.
I think it's up to me. I've been eliminated. So
we know the reasons Charles said. It's Blame Canada. It was nominated for an Oscar. Did it win?
It
couldn't have won.
It wouldn't
There's
have won.
No,
There's no
it
way.
Win.
But to his point, South Park
had
no business
yeah.
trying to do this. And I think that's what makes it so fun. And it is original songs, and it's written by
two guys,
Jay Stone and Matt Parker,
have never deviated from what they're good at, and they did it when they did that. They did it. They've done it every day since.
Is Team America: World Police a musical?
Well, they sing it.
I don't think there was a no. I don't
Fuck
think so.
Yeah,
it was just a
America,
puppet movie.
Right? Isn't that in it?
America.
There is,
Fuck
but it
yeah,
just, it was a
it.
Puppet movie.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
You should know.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, it also being satirical, like never everything else we're arguing is all like doesn't comment on society, doesn't comment on North America, Western values, all that stuff.
Well, Les Miserables kind of.
Well,
Les
no,
Miserables for sure does, man.
Yeah,
does. maybe touché. A little.
Touche, I give you some French for that. But yeah, and I mean just. The Les Mis is still in the fabric of musicals. It never will
but
be.
But there's
like,
no circumcision jokes in Les Mis.
No, there
am
isn't.
I talking about my own thing or no?
Yeah.
You guys can argue for me if you want.
I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to stretch again. Okay, Martin, you go. I think we can't say anything
well, I mean,
more than we already
we
said.
We all know how Jimmy feels about the French.
The miserable.
But watch Les Mis, and you know you gotta give it to the French. They were the first people to say fuck you to the 1%. If it wasn't for them, we would still probably have monarchies right now.
We still do.
Yeah.
But I mean,
not
we're
here.
We're part of a commonwealth.
The monarchies that actually rule the country.
We swear
like, you know what I mean?
Allegiance
like, we have,
to that woman.
When she comes here, we have parades.
Yeah. Like, we literally got rid of monarchies. And they were the original people who said fuck you to the 1%. And this is this play captures that time perfectly.
Michael loved Napoleon.
And you know what?
I was confused by it.
There was no French in this one.
Why do they do that? Why do they keep basing movies in France? They got two Australians. They got an American. They got two women, Sacha Baron and Helena Bonham, both from England. Like, nobody's French in that movie. No. I bet you the only French people are the fucking Grips. Like, you know where they shot it.
The original book of Victor Hugo was in French, so this was like an adaptation from that original book, right?
Right.
So
that's what they said. Just, you know, creative license.
I don't know if Russell Crowe had any business singing. You know? Not that the South Park
guys... But
you
gotta give it to my boy, Hugh Jack. Hugh Jack?
Yeah, he did better than
I followed up
with
The Greatest Showman, too, and still
And I know Gonzo's a good singer, Jimmy, but Anne Hathaway, come on now.
Yeah, if you're going to compare the two.
Come on. I know Gonzo is good, but Anne Hathaway, she's pretty good. Pretty good.
She's no Miss Piggy.
I have to say for Martin, like where that I think is where Anne Hathaway started to really blossom. And
what, did she get Batman right after that, or was it before?
She was
Catwoman.
After. It was after.
She got hit Catwoman.
But what
right
I'm saying is her star started to shine brighter after.
I thought she was a star before that.
She took a bit of a break before that, didn't she? Like, I remember she was big in like the maybe early 2000s or something. 90. I can't remember.
Princess
when she was
Diaries
young, she was big, and then she took a break, and then she came back with Batman and Les Mis. That's when she started like getting bigger roles and stuff like that.
Well, and then doing No Country
and Devil.
Doing,
Devil Wears Prada, I think too.
D Wears P.
I can't.
Yeah,
you.
She was in Devil.
Gay cowboy movie.
Point Up for Grabs. Brokeback.
Thank you.
Okay.
She was one of
Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain.
That's what happened to Charles.
Yeah. There's a Point Up for Grab there somewhere.
Except he wasn't going up a mountain. He was getting something from the cupboards.
Okay,
the
so
high cupboards.
What do I do? What do I do here? Do I go with something that pokes the bear, or do I go with something that was the first person to poke the bear with the one percenters, right? Like
the original, baby. The original poked the bear.
That's tough, man. That story of
Matt.
To
you, Mike.
That story of Matt Stone and Trey Parker going to the Oscars in dresses on acid. And anytime someone would ask them about the dresses, they would say, well, it's just a beautiful night. Everyone looks so wonderful, and we're just happy to be a part of it.
Okay, that solidified my vote. No, it didn't. I'm just kidding. That's why I love those guys, though.
That's part of the musical.
I'm sorry, but as much as Little Shop of Horrors is a musical in all of its rights, Les Mis also has to be there. Now, here is the problem.
That's a Martin v. Martin battle.
That's a Martin v. Martin battle.
We did this again.
I mean, I'm not even going to argue. You guys can pick which one you want to win.
Well, that's what we did last time, so
it
we're going to do it
finals.
Again.
It is the finals. I think every point has been made.
Yeah, every point has been made. So it's going to be...
I mean, man, for me, it's Little Shop. Like, it's not even... I don't even think it's close. Everybody in Little Shop can sing.
It's true. And they all do come from a musical theater background. Like
the comedy is there. Making a musical that isn't funny just feels wrong.
It does.
Les Mis is funny.
If they're
it's
so fun, miserable.
It has funny moments. Because like Sacha Baron Cohen and Hilary Duff characters, those are the funny moments.
Right.
What do you call it? It does have its funny moments.
They're the levity.
It's not a comedy per se, but it is not just all dread and serious.
If they're so miserable, why are they singing all the time?
Yeah, I don't want to belt out a tune when I'm going through a bout of depression.
But I love Little Shop 2 as well, because, you know, it's Rick Moranis.
That's a big fucking mechanical plant.
And it is, like, it's traveled tons of times.
The plant sings.
And you saw it.
I did.
Well, the fact that it's a Frank Oz, it's an animate, it's not CG. That's an original, like, Frank Oz puppet.
It's got murder.
It's got suspense.
It's got laughter.
It's got dirty dentistry.
That's right. And Rick Moranis.
And I heart Steve Martin. Like
me too.
And Rick Moranis.
Steve Harton.
We all know the guy left Hollywood to go take care of his family
because
his wife got sick. Like, big heart.
And then someone punched him.
Yeah, who'd do that?
And I did say this before the show.
Monster.
I mean, like, all of my musical upbringing doesn't come from fun musicals. The only one that really
looks like you guys are in a deadlock. Why don't you guys roll a dice to see who wins it?
No.
Or do rock,
I'm
paper,
just,
scissors.
I'm just
well,
saying.
Do you
like,
think it's Les Miserables?
I think it's Les Miserables for all of the traditional aspects of what Les Mis has done. Right?
Can you call Charles and have him decide? Do you want me to call Charles?
You'd have to. I can't.
Okay.
I can't do it.
We haven't done this for a while.
We have not done this for a while.
We got to go for a voter call.
I like that.
Let's see if he answers. Hey, Charles. We're in a deadlock in the bracket debate for best musical.
Oh my god, that's great.
So it unfortunately came down to Martin versus Martin. And we need you to decide between Little Shop of Horrors and Les Miserables.
I mean, it's Little Shop of Horrors easily.
You're my man. You're my man.
This was not how Phone a Friend was supposed to go.
I agree with you 100%. It's Michael going Les Miserables, so, you know, that's vintage Michael.
Shut up, I can't talk on the phone.
I know, Michael's such a loser.
I was fighting for you, Martin. I was really fighting for you.
I mean, I see both of them. I'm okay with either pick.
We almost got South Park to the final. We were pretty close.
Oh, man. That makes me happy, though, to know that it was there. How's it going? It sounds like it's going great.
It's been a nightmare.
Yeah, it's been horrible, man. We've been singing to each other.
It's been awful. Martin's going to win.
Who won first debate of the year? Jimmy won last debate of the year.
That's awesome. I'm sorry you can't be there.
Well, you know, thank you for your vote, Charles. We appreciate it very much.
I love you guys.
See you, buddy.
Before we go, I actually had, I'm going to put it up online later, but I asked ChatGPT to make me a best musical about the Transformers.
Oh, God.
And it wrote an original song.
Really?
It did.
And how is it?
It's fucking horrible. It like it goes like Optimus Prime cuts in and then Bumblebee can't because Bumblebee has no voice. Like it
That's
knew
hilarious.
That. And then like Megatron comes in and then Starscream comes in. And
That's
like, you,
exactly oh how
like,
I wanted
I was
to
like,
be.
Write me an opening number for Transformers the musical. And it was all about like Megatron and the lights and put the cube in my chest, Sam. And like it was absolutely hilarious. Martin, what musical or what movie do you think would be better suited with the treatment of a musical?
I don't think I think this is the first show where the word Nazi has been said so many times in an episode.
But it won't be the last.
It will not
it
be.
Won't be the like, this is definitely the first. And just because you guys said it so much, this is where my brain went.
Oh, no.
I was like, what if there was Schindler's List the musical?
Oh, my God. I love it.
How do you pitch that to a studio? How do you say, let's put a musical track in right here?
Well, see, you do it right after you pitch Mean Girls the musical.
Okay, yeah. But that got picked up.
Exactly. You throw one, and you throw both, and then they'll take one.
Speaking of, that's out this weekend.
Ralph Fiennes coming back in the original role.
Like the whole...
Or Ralph Fiennes.
Yep.
What about you, Jimmy? What would you like to see as a musical?
Me like to see as a musical?
Scream.
Well, geez, what's more? They already did it. They already
really?
Did it. Yeah, they did Scream. Yep. They did Scream the musical. It's hilarious. Fuck, what would I pick as a musical? Jurassic Park would be pretty funny.
Jurassic Park
where
is
the dinosaurs
frightening in the dark. And the dinosaurs are, right? You put Al,
I'd see that.
Al Yank, Weird Al Yankovic singing the fucking song.
Dude, those T-Rexes?
I think I'd
like
see
getting
that.
Getting the dinosaurs on stage? Or would you put the T-Rex as a robot? And the raptors are people, you know, the mime people.
No, you bring out like a chorus line of little Transformers.
Of little raptors.
Of little raptors who like do the can-can and shit. Like you really fucking burn it out with the.
I know Zoe would buy 100 tickets.
I would go see Jurassic Park the musical. Watching Ian Malcolm sing about Chaos Theory.
Oh,
that'd
it'd be beautiful.
Fucking...
I want to hear Jeff Goldblum sing.
Right? Bring the whole cast back to do it. I would like to see, I mean, the Marvel musical in Hawkeye was a pretty brilliant
that was
idea.
You'd love to see a full version
I'd
of
love
that.
To see a full version of like Cap singing to America and Wolverine drunk in a bar singing about how hard his life is chewing on a cigar. You know, like make it like a jazzy performance and then like Professor Xavier can dance. It's when he comes to life and like gets out of the wheelchair.
Like the Grandpa Joe.
Exactly, in Wonka, which is
hilarious.
Also a musical. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is a musical.
Yeah,
we forget about that shit.
Come with me.
Can't you see?
In a world
of pure
it's beautiful.
Imagination.
And now we're going to get absolutely no charisma Timothy Chalamet. Dude has no riz. I don't care what anyone says. No riz on that fucking guy. None.
I mean, what if he surprises us? What if he pulls like a Heath Ledger and just like blows it out of the water?
It's getting great reviews, guys. Like it was the winner
during
the
Christmas. I like Timothy Chalamet. He's a great actor.
I got to see the audience score.
Yeah, like it was the best spot during the Christmas break. It outsang Aquaman. Maybe if Aquaman was a musical, it would have done better.
I want to see Aquaman 2 the musical. Aquaman 2-sical.
They're all singing underwater.
Well, fuck me. It has a 91% audience score and 82 regular.
That's a big score, man. And like the people I know
that's
that went to go
see
it.
That's a big score for a musical, man.
Yeah, fuck me. All right, maybe I'm wrong.
The people I know that went to go see it don't know each other. So they all said the same thing, which was interesting.
So wait, this was a legit musical too as well?
Yeah, he's singing it.
Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah. Do you remember your first musical as a kid? Or the first musical you maybe were dragged to?
Miss Saigon.
I was in musical theater.
It was probably Little Shop.
Little Shop, okay. Yeah, Miss Saigon. I went and saw that at the concert.
I saw that. Then I saw Phantom and then Les Mis.
I was in two performances.
I've seen Chicago in Chicago.
Okay, so yeah, jazz hands. I was in Bye Bye Birdie, which is like
you were in Bye Bye Poppins.
I was in Bye Bye Birdie.
It was my first.
I was in a high school performance of Bye Bye Birdie.
Who were you?
I was one of the Apple Bottom gang. That wasn't much.
Boots with the fur.
Yeah.
Apple
yeah.
Bottom jeans.
Yeah, exactly.
In this world.
And then I was also in Once Upon a Mattress, which is the sex comedy of Princess and the Pea.
You did that in high school?
Did that in grade 12.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I was in. I was a knight in waiting.
And the director's in jail now?
No. Okay. No, he's still teaching. It wasn't like a sex comedy. Like, we weren't fucking, but there was simulated.
We did Poor Things, the musical.
Yeah.
He Miller's was
List, the musical.
What about the 90s?
That's where his love of Black Eyeliner came from.
Yeah. Yeah, and tights.
What about a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles musical?
That would work.
Like, in the... Well, they did the Vanilla Ice song.
They did. But here's what you don't know. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles had a touring, like, musical concert when the movie came out,
well,
the first
one.
So, like, Splinter came on stage, and they did all these, like, rock performances and played all these songs.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but it was a marketing thing, and I did go see it.
They were breakdancing.
Like, the California Raisins.
Yeah.
They're kind of a... like,
legends.
Right? Like, if you incorporate... If you trick people into thinking a musical's happening, which is what Wonka did,
they didn't
advertise anything. They just...
No, they didn't.
Right? Like, you didn't know it was a musical until they started reviewing it. And I think that's how doing a musical works better than being a musical on your nose.
Don't tell them.
Like, The Greatest Showman is awesome, but it's a good musical.
Right.
Where Wonka, if it was advertised as a musical at Christmas, I don't think a lot of people would have given two shits. And you're also making a prequel. So if you're going to make a musical prequel to an actual feature, that changes a lot for people.
Should have been Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah, he's way more of a
Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder.
He'll be the Gene Wilder biopic, which
That'd
will
be
also
cool.
be a musical.
I'd watch that.
I don't know. What's the worst musical you've ever seen? And I know we're all going to say it. You haven't even seen it, but there was buttholes in it. Cats.
Oh, Cats? Yeah. I haven't seen Cats.
That is such, like, that was such a debacle. Like, an absolute debacle. And, like, that's an Andrew Lloyd Webber performance, too.
Yeah. That's a dude who did Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, like, how did Phantom work? How did Les Mis work? But how did Cats not translate?
Well, they didn't put the assholes in.
He didn't do Les Mis, though, Michael.
What?
He just did Phantom. He did Phantom and Jesus in a Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Isn't...
Andrew Lloyd Webber did Phantom and Jesus. He didn't do Les Mis? No, he didn't.
Who did Les Mis?
Me.
I can't remember the guy, but it wasn't Andrew Lloyd Webber.
All right.
It was, who did it? Ridley Scott.
You all would have hated it then. Why are there no French people? Oh, Ridley Scott did it.
The French hate themselves.
Well, listener, if there's a musical that you thought that should have been in this, or a musical that you...
Let us know. Like, we didn't even touch Rent.
We didn't touch Rent. We didn't touch West
nope.
Side Story.
Nope.
We didn't touch Miss
Hamilton.
Saigon.
We didn't touch
Hamilton.
Was there a movie? It was a movie version of Hamilton, wasn't
it? Yeah,
there?
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, it... There's... No, they made the musical a performance you could watch. They didn't make it a movie.
It wasn't a movie.
Same
okay.
thing.
Yeah, they filmed it, but they filmed it like a movie. That's a movie.
If you film it, it's a movie.
But if you have an idea that you want read on the show on an upcoming episode...
Let us know what we missed. We love that.
Comment on the episode.
Be mad.
Be angry.
Leave us a voicemail.
Leave us a voicemail.
Skateboard.
We'll play it on here. Just like we played Charles. We'll play you like Charles. That makes no sense. And we'll get you involved in the show, and then you can be on it and see if one of our audience member debates, if we get enough of you, we'll pick one of you as a winner, and then
That's
maybe
right.
you'll win something. Who fucking knows?
Leave us a review like Michael's cunty puppet. Like, really, Michael? Come on.
Really?
Really?
I know. He's got
That's what you're going to pick? You're not going to pick the Muppets?
He does. The way he's angled, he's looking like he's...
Come on.
I know.
Yeah.
He's a little pissed off.
Is that
I can
what
tell.
We're doing?
We're going to have a talk after.
Oh, yeah.
But
you have to put some yams in him, Michael.
Yeah, some yams up that fucking hole.
Make him happy.
We'll do furious jumping. Me and my Muppet.
I don't know if he'll like that.
Listener, if this is your first time, thank you for riding all the way through. We appreciate it. If you liked it, the easiest thing to do is subscribe, which is every podcast player. Just do it. Just whatever you're listening to this on, press follow, press like, press subscribe. That's
come to
easy.
Trivia.
Come to Trivia if you're in our hometown. If you're in Vancouver and you want to come to Trivia, if you're in LA and you want to come to Trivia, come to Trivia. But
fly on out.
Yeah.
Direct flights now.
It's expensive, but that would be. We'll make sure you...
Flights to Vancouver are actually pretty cheap right now.
They are?
Zoe and I have been checking, yeah.
We should go back.
With Flair.
So bring a backed bag. Don't check anything.
Never.
Book two weeks off because you never know when
you never know where you're going and where you're coming
That's
home.
Right.
But and in the show notes, you can subscribe to all of our things. You can subscribe to everything that we do on the show, the behind the scenes stuff, the link in our bio. Twitter for me and Jimmy's in there. The show for Real Debaters is best on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. You can now listen to the show on YouTube.
Isn't that nice?
You get a brand new episode on YouTube.
Maybe you don't want Spotify. Maybe you don't want Apple.
Yeah, maybe you're a big YouTube fan. You pay for YouTube and you just want to see it.
Yeah.
Same old image for 2 hours. Then great, awesome, do that. But
it's me in the tub.
Yeah.
Subscribing to our brand of laughter is the best way you can support the show. But if you also want to spend some money, you can buy our shit too. All that stuff's in the show
notes.
That's true. We got everybody's stuff's up there
now.
We
got shirts.
We got sweaters.
Hoodies.
We got hats. We got trucker hats. We have aprons. Yeah. We used to have skateboards. Skateboards never sold, but aprons, I think might fell.
Kiss the masturbator.
Besides that, thank you for tuning into another episode. We will see you when we see you. And I've been Satine, Diamonds Are Girl's best friend, gentlemen.
And I am not Russell Crowe.
And I am thankful you all voted with integrity.
Well, we have to sometimes.
Watch all the movies, listen to all the musicals, and see you next week. Goodbye, guys. Bye-bye.
If you have any problems, dial information. Thank you for calling.